Are you a man trapped in pornography or sexual addiction? Then you need to attend our Gateway to Freedom workshop. Call 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com. That's 1-800-49-PURITY.
Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. You know, we're so glad to have you listening with us. We are excited to be coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, where it's just a gorgeous day and we're enjoying God's goodness and grace. You know, for those of you who have listened to us a while, I'd like to make a special plea to you. You know, what we do is very important, and we've heard from plenty of you that what we do is important. You know, if you really believe in what we're doing, we just would like to challenge you to pray about financially supporting this ministry. Everything we do here, we offer for free, whether it's our podcasts, our MP3s, even as you're listening on the radio, you're listening for free. And the reason is because we believe in the information that we're giving, and we rely on supporters who also believe in what we're doing to invest in this very vital ministry. So we'll give you some contact information at the end of this broadcast, but that's my little pitch right there for plugging in and supporting Pure Sex Radio. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm your host, and I'm sitting here with my good friend Steven Cervantes. Hey there, Steven.
Hi, Jonathan.
And actually, I'm just going to pass things on to you, Steven, because you have got something for us this week that looks very interesting.
Okay, let's see if at the end of this, people are going, now that was an interesting show. So I can't take credit for today's thoughts. I have to give John Eldridge credit. He wrote a book called The Journey of Desire. And I sure like Eldridge's writing.
Mm-hmm.
And this book just really, it mesmerized me, if you will. Because I think desire is not very well understood. And so I took a number of selections from his book, and I wanted you and I to brainstorm these. He starts by saying, if you don't know why you exist, then you're going to assume that there's something wrong, and not wrong with life, but wrong with you or your spouse. And you're going to say, what's wrong with me? Why can't I be happy? What's wrong with my marriage? What's wrong with my job? What's wrong with my kids, my life? And he says, you have to explore the issue of desire, and you have to appropriately manage desire. So here are a few thoughts about desire. Just think about the concept of desire. That's what this discussion is about today, about desire. And hopefully we can weave it into a healthy desire and sexual desire. And I'm hoping you'll fill in with some of that, Jonathan.
Oh, you bet.
So desire is who we are. We are desire. It comes in the program. Everyone comes automatically with desire built into the system. It's an essential part of the human soul. If you think about it, nothing gets accomplished without desire. Desire fuels our search to have a wonderful life. Even though we sleep, it's almost like desire does not sleep. It doesn't go away. You wake up, it's there, it's been waiting. You get up with the desire, you're going to sleep with desire. It seems to be a part of who we are. Desire is designed to save us from the soul suicide of just getting by. The problem with desire is what satisfied you yesterday will not be enough. Because desire does not understand the concept of enough. There will never be enough. Desire always wants more.
Well, you know, there's something you said that really got me to thinking about the idea of even though we sleep, desire doesn't. And, you know, that's a spiritual statement. Because it's almost like it's something in our spirit. It's something in that God part of us that doesn't tire. It doesn't wear out. It doesn't fatigue like our body does. And so it
doesn't age, does it? Well, desire doesn't age.
So I guess what you're saying, or what I'm hearing Eldred say here, is that there is a very strong spiritual component to desire that maybe we don't easily connect, because desire seems to appeal so much to our physical lives. You know, if you think about the desires within you, they almost always appeal to something that then you can obtain through your physical life, whether it be sexual desire, whether it be career desires, what, you know, something that ultimately is going to be manifest itself through what you do. But we kind of almost don't make that connection of how much of a spiritual element desire has to
it. And I think that's, I don't know if we're saying the same thing, but he seems to imply we are born with desire.
Yeah.
And when you say it's spiritual, it means it's part of our system. It's woven in by the Maker for us to have these desires.
Well, and that's why I think it's important, like, especially as we talk about sexual desire. So many, Stephen, you've seen this a lot too. So many of the guys we work with who have developed a sexual addiction find it so hard to embrace that they were born with sexual desire, that was part of the God makeup of them. That was part of how God purposely and specifically designed them, was as a sexual being with sexual desires.
And sometimes we're glad for that, and sometimes we're mad about that.
Or ashamed about that.
Yes,
you know?
And I mean, it's because of the concept that of desire, an appetite that cannot be satisfied. And so if you roll it into sexuality, it just spins crazy.
But then this last statement, though, I'd like you to kind of maybe move on from this, where you said there will never be enough.
But just desire alone.
Okay.
Always, it is not enough. It always wants more. Just the concept of desire. Now, we have to put desire alongside other concepts, right?
Right, right.
But we're only focusing on this desire, this appetite, this one aspect of how we are designed. Because I don't think we usually pull it apart and look at desire as in the system. Because sometimes women go, why are men like that? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like men wrap desire with sexuality.
Right.
Women wrap desire and romance.
Right.
You know?
But in both of them, it's kind of what you might call the want to.
Yes.
The desire is the want to. Now, whatever it gets attached to, mm-hmm, is then how we get all these differences between men and women.
That's
and
a good point, because it's there, it's energy, it's life, it's new, it's growth. That's what desire is about, to live better, to desire more, to even want God more. Desire is the energy and that forward motion. But what have we paired it with, right? Because some people have to have the newest car.
Mm-hmm.
And after this year's model is old news, the new one is calling. I mean, there's this desire to have the best computer, the newest camera. There's this desire to live in the nicest house with the newest things. And you understand?
Right.
There's this appetite that never seems to be satisfied. So if you look around, you'll see individuals living in two states. They are living with this restless desire. They are restless, and they desire. And you also see individuals who've learned to bridle rein in this desire. And bridled desire looks like contentment. You have to rein it in. Eldridge says, desire is part of life's journey, but some have lost heart along the way. They've become bitter. There are those of us who have camped at the place of resignation, and they've given up. And they have somehow killed their desire.
And you know what? Those statements right there, that fits much of who we deal with in terms of sexual addiction.
Well, keep explaining what you're talking
about. The idea
about.
That desire is part of life's journey, but then you get to a place where you lose heart because we've attached it to things that have not helped that desire grow into something healthy, but that desire has been attached to either pornography or lust or some sort of misuse of how God's designed their sexuality, to where then they grow bitter. They get to this place of resignation where they lose hope of ever having desires fulfilled in a legitimate, healthy way.
Or they go a little crazy and they make desire work harder and overtime, and they push it to places and ways and routines. It wasn't designed. It's like designed to be fuel, but it's not designed to be. You know, sexual desire is not like the essential fuel of life.
Right.
So there are those that have camped at a place of resignation. There are others that are prisoners of despair. And there are individuals who just dine at the trough of indulgence. They are binging. They cannot get enough. They play to that aspect of themselves. I want more. I want more. A little more. Just push a little further. Hold on longer. Push it higher. They have to learn that desire is an appetite itself, but all aspects of ourselves can be misused,
mm-hmm.
and desire, a good thing, can be misused and turned bad.
Yeah, because you know the Bible even says that in James 1 it talks about that sin is conceived out of our evil desires, right? Mm. So we can have both good desires and evil desires, but it's like they both get attached, whether it's good or evil, it gets attached to that part, that want to in us, that desire
that,
yeah.
Yes, it's a part of us. That's good. Sometimes people have despair and they decide maybe it's better just to reach for nothing because the disappointment is there, the discouragement is there, there's pain and tragedy. And we have desire, but sometimes that desire makes us feel vulnerable, makes us feel needy. It's that energy and passion at times, but sometimes it seems like our worst enemy because we cannot get that desire met. And so some of us live in disappointing relationships, and we have broken hearts, and the love has gone sour and turned to bitterness. And even we dare not hope because hope arouses desire.
I had a guy come to me one time and tell me, you know, what's the point of getting up if I know I'm just going to fall down again?
Ooh, that's good.
And
yes.
and without even realizing, he was speaking to that place of desire in him, that it's like, why have hope? Why even go into that aspect of my being that contains desire? If I know that I've always been misled in that area, when I know that it's always only led me to more shame and pain and heartache and failure, it is a difficult thing when that desire in us has only maybe been attached to that which is not good for us. It's hard then to see how desire can be a good thing.
And we felt the pain as a result of that, right? Now, the dilemma is that even if you desire good things, you're probably going to experience pain and suffering in this world.
Sure,
right? We desire deep, rich relationships. But we also now know that it hurts deeply to open your heart. And our hearts get wounded. And then we grieve. Because we may desire great love, and we may have it. But then something may happen to them. Auto accidents, sicknesses, aging, bodies break down. I think desire is the energy to move forward and to do good. But on the journey, disappointment lurks. It's just, it's a part of the process. And maybe we need to have another radio discussion on disappointment. But right now, we're just talking about desire and energy and passion and almost vision for to go forward and to dream big dreams. Here's the struggle. If you try to kill desire, you have to stab your own heart.
That's good.
And that's a difficult thing to do because desire is woven into who we are. And really, I hope that listeners are getting the point that John Eldredge was trying to make, that the desire is a part of who we are, and it's okay. And we have to rethink sometimes because in our youth, we weave together desire and sexuality. And we make those like a junior god that must be bowed to. Well, I have desire, and it's being sold all around me in the culture, sexuality, and the opportunity is there, and I'm encouraged to explore sexuality, and why should it be bridled?
And I think that's where we have to take a step back, and this is sometimes so difficult to do because, you know, Stephen, we've got, like you said, there's so many things pulling at us from so many different directions that say, attach your desire here, attach your desires here, attach your desires to this, saying that that's going to be the thing that satisfies us ultimately. When I think the reason I made the statement I did earlier about desire being having such a spiritual component is because at the core, I really believe at the very core essence of what desire is, it's a calling toward God. I mean, if you look at what God has put in us in terms of desire, it all points back to the one who put it there, which was God. So whether it's sexual desire, whether it's work desire, whether it's friendship desire, all of those components can have some sort of connection and pointing toward God. And so I think that's where we get confused is we start looking horizontally. We start looking at how what's right here and right now, we can attach a desire, get an immediate fix, get an immediate thrill, and then we start making assumptions or conclusions about our desire based on our not pointing those desires back to their creator and using the and pointing it in a direction that he's designed them for.
That is great. That's right. And I think you're right on track with Eldredge here. As he explores this whole idea of desire and what's the right direction. Because a gentleman said, for 40 years I've tried to control my life by killing my desires. To allow my desires is frightening to me. And I think I don't think we've understood desire being a part of us and desire being okay. In every one of us, there's passionate driving desire for more and for better. And I think you're right. It is an inner drive for greater spiritual awakening, truth, good, for greater than we see around us. We want more life than oftentimes what we are served. For many, the life we have is far from the life that we desire. And many of us have been failed deeply by the key men in our lives. We trusted, they broke that trust. And do we dare to trust again?
So let me ask you this. Do you think then that according to Eldredge, or maybe just even in your own opinion, that that desire, that although it's something we're born with, it doesn't know how to direct itself.
That's good.
I mean, because one of the comments you made there is, you know, the life we have is far from the life that we truly desire. But when you ask people, what do you truly desire in life? Sometimes it's a difficult question for people to answer, because it's almost like they have a kind of a vague vision of what they desire their life to be, but they don't know how to channel that, or they haven't. So it's almost like we're born with this desire, but it has to be channeled. You have to learn to develop a channeling of those desires. Otherwise, unbridled desire
is scary.
It's
and
chaotic.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But the other side is also, and I think this is what Eldridge is trying to point out, it is also a tragedy for you to give up and on desire and hope and dreams, for you to not use that appropriately, for you to let desire flounder and languish to bitterness. Yeah, you have energy, but you're bitter about it. Yeah, you got a vision, you got passion, but it's soured passion. Mm-hmm. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick, Proverbs 13:12. Eldridge himself had to answer a question. He struggled because his best friend died. They were doing a weekend training for men. They had vision and desire. And his friend climbed up on a rock, and the rock moved, and he was crushed and killed. And he said, what does it mean to live the rest of my life without my closest friend? And life often falls short. We want to blame someone. But the truth is, in order for our deepest longing to be met, we need the cooperation of others. Very few of us can fill our own desires. Desire is not self-fulfilling. We need others. And that's part of God's plan and his design. So let me say, the Christian faith begins with an invitation to desire. You just think about that a minute. It's wide open. Let your heart run again, be free again. Let it just be free to move towards the Father. Christianity recognizes that we have desire that's gone mad within us. And it does not rectify the problem by killing desire. Rather, God seeks to heal your desire, use of desire, your entangled desire. God seeks to offer healing to every part of our heart, including desire.
Well, I think for the one out there listening who struggles with addictive pornography use or sexual addiction, the message here today is that God is not the big killjoy in the sky who is out to destroy your sexual desires. He's the one who actually gave you sexual desires. The issue is, if you want to actually live a life of freedom and real contentment,
yes, bridle it.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's like when you learn to channel and bridle that those urges that send you into an addictive sort of spiral,
yeah,
you're actually then experiencing freedom, and your desires are being fulfilled.
And peace rises up,
yeah,
in that place of bridled, reined-in desire, calm and quiet. And sometimes we have to be careful because the noise of the culture screams, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to wrap it up there. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this week's broadcast of the Pure Sex Radio program. We hope this has been encouraging to you, so that maybe you can begin to breathe again and learn how to be grateful for the desire that God has put in you. And then also learn how to channel that so that you can really experience a life of contentment. We look forward to hearing from you, hearing your story, and how we can help. Until next time, this is Jonathan signing off for the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Sex is good. Have you spun the lies of sexual addiction and lust so long that you believe sex is dirty? Probably so. But God designed sex as a most beautiful expression of intimate love in the covenant bond of marriage. Sex is good. God made it that way.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to more Purity Pointers at puresexradio.com.
I want to share with you a product that we want to promote this week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. And the product is a book by John Eldridge, and the title is called Journey of Desire. Now, sometimes it seems we just can't get what we want. Circumstances thwart our best laid plans. We struggle to live a heartfelt life. Worst of all, says Eldridge, is that the modern church mistakenly teaches its people to kill desire, calling it sin, and replace it with duty or obligation, calling it sanctification. As a result, at best, Christians tend to live safe, boring lives of resignation. At worst, their desire eventually breaks out in destructive ways, such as substance abuse, affairs, and pornography addictions. In this book, The Journey of Desire, Eldridge invites readers to rediscover God-given desire and to search again for the life they once dreamed of. Folks, I have read this book, and it is a powerful book, and it's just one of those that kind of, it begins to stir you, and it begins to cause you to think of what would a life lived with passion, with desire for the way God designed us to use our desire look like. And so we want to encourage you to pick up a copy of this book. You can do so by either calling into our ministry or simply going to desire.puresexradio.com. Again, you can go online and just go to desire.puresexradio.com and get yourself a copy of this book, The Journey of Desire by John Eldridge.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off. We'll be right back. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries.